Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/zabe today. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Today on the ZabeCast, it's Andy Poland, the guy I once derisively called Good Enough Andy. A man who knows more Redskins history than anybody. Somebody who loved Chinese food, Tiger Woods, and 60 Minutes on Sundays. And a guy who taught me the word Meshuggahna. Your bonus, uncensored 35-minute edition of the ZabeCast is locked and loaded. So buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
On the seventh pitch, Harper hits one in the air, left center field, back it goes! Harper, the swing of his life!
And with that, Andy, Bryce Harper has ascended into the Philadelphia sports firmament as pure legend. How about that? As Mel Allen would say, how about that?
Well, it's been 7 years since he asked the question when his then Nationals acquired Max Scherzer, where's my ring? Well, maybe he's going to get one.
I think he said, if I'm not mistaken, dude, where's my ring?
Oh, yes.
He gave it the dude, like, dude, where's my car? Right. Wow, what a moment. As I texted my good friend and industry colleague, Harry Mays, up there in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Let me get the actual text here. You ready?
Yep.
I said, quote, you have a city of outright sports savages and do not deserve any of this. That said, I'm appreciating the sports spectacle from down the road off I-95. Enjoy, my friend. And I meant that sincerely. I mean, I couldn't help but appreciate the spectacle of it. I mean, what an electric moment. I'm sorry. My phone is not working great today. Andy, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, I'm appreciating the sporting spectacle of it because it was an absolutely electric moment.
You know, Philadelphia is a city where they appreciate winners much more so than most cities, but they also kind of revel in losing more so than any other city. You know, it's bizarre.
Funny how that is. So how do you feel about Harper since he was a Nat, but he was not on the World Series team that rallied from being 19-31 to winning it all? And these Phillies were straight ass in April and May themselves, and their number was like 20-31 or something.
Well, I mean, that's baseball, and far be it from me to criticize, because the team I rooted for was 19-31 at one point and had to win a wild card game beating the unbeatable Josh Hader. So, I won't criticize it. But the baseball that I grew up with, where you grinded it out and you won a division, or even I remember going back when you won just the whole league, there were no divisions. That's gone. It's how you're playing at the end of the season and how these series line up, because that's really where it's won. Are the Phillies the best team in the National League? Well, they are because they're in the World Series, but were they throughout the season? No, obviously.
Right. The Phillies this year were 21-29 through 50 games, so only a click better than the Nats in 2019, where they were 19-31. The 05 Houston Astros that did not win the World Series were 18-32, and the 1914 BSN were 20-30. I'm now trying to figure out who the fuck was the BSN in 1914.
Boston? I have no idea. Could be. I wasn't watching many games back then, so I couldn't tell you. But, you know, Harper has been on the radar since he was 16 years old. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's, in many ways, supposed to be LeBron James, and he doesn't have a ring yet, you know, and I know it's a different sport, but, you know, now is the time, I guess.
The 1914 Boston Braves, I guess, were abbreviated BSN. Because that was a 1914 World Series. Yes, was the Boston Braves against the Philadelphia Phillies. Or the Philadelphia Athletics at the time. Philadelphia Athletics at the time. So that said, is there anything that can be done, should be done, you'd like to see done about baseball being so erratic when regards to the regular season versus the postseason?
Well, sure, but that ship has sailed. It's all about television.
Okay.
Now, and like today, though, I mean, these are, you know, the Yankees have had a rain delay. I don't know whether they're going to play or not. But the game between the one by the Phillies, how many people had it on their radar outside of Philadelphia? Well, you know, because
what do you mean?
It's an NFL Sunday.
I was watching. Of course, I have many TVs.
And had I
squeezed you into the long drive out to the countryside, you would have watched it as well. But by the way, update, I told Andy prior to the game, I think Saturday night it was. Didn't I text you on Saturday night?
Well, let's if you want to review the whole thing, let's go through it. Let's go through it here.
Okay, let's go through the whole thing. So let's start with the Book of David. So when the schedule comes out, I see that the Packers are going to play at FedEx Field against the now Commanders. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this would be great. I'm a Packer fan now, and I'll make a big deal of it. We'll have a tailgate. We'll do a live show out there. People can talk shit to me. You turncoat, you traitor. Then the season comes, and your enthusiasm for getting it together and your organizational skills, you're like, I don't even have a grill. Where am I going to get the food? Does anyone want to come see me? Is this really worth my time? I then say, well, if somebody has free tickets, I guess I'll take free tickets. And so I get an offer of free tickets. I'm like, okay, we're good. We got parking with the tickets, so there's really no excuse now. They're sweet tickets. I've got four of them. And I go, okay, great. It'll be me, Andy, one account Rhodes, maybe the Felt Father. We'll get four guys to go, and then it's just me and you. And I'm thinking, okay, it's just me and Andy. I could maybe get two other people that I don't really know, but is it going to be any fun? And so I say to Andy, okay, just come to my house. I'm going to turn the tickets back in. And then the night before the game, I say, you know what? Don't even come to the house. We'll text each other during the game. And then the game happens, and guess what I just realized, Andy?
No text.
Didn't fucking text each other, because I know I'd be talking to you right now. So we can hash over the game right now, right here. There, how's that for, Jebediah begat, David, who begat Ezekiel.
Right. Since this is not my first rodeo with you, no surprises along the way as the whole event began to devolve and finally dissolve.
Okay. But did I make your day more convenient?
Well, it was convenient. And I probably wouldn't have done on Saturday what I really enjoyed doing. I went with some friends and went to the Maryland game, which was a beautiful day.
Saw that.
Yeah.
I saw your tweet. Who were the Alticockers that you were with?
Well, one of them is my friend since I was 10 years old, John Oshinsky, and his older brother.
Johnny Oshinsky was in that photo? I don't even know who John Oshinsky is, but I'm going to pretend like I knew. Okay, so there's one. That's cool.
And his brother, invited a friend, and he got tickets on StubHub. And they're both, Maryland graduates going way back. So they knew where to park, even though we didn't have parking through StubHub. We had these unbelievable seats on the 40-yard line. And as I say, it was a gorgeous day. It was homecoming. And Maryland came from behind and won. It was just a beautiful, beautiful day.
That's great. Now, if I recall, Andy, the last time you set foot inside Maryland Stadium, which used to be Byrd Stadium, right?
Mm-hmm.
BYRD?
Right.
Is it still named that or no?
No. He was found to have kept blacks out of the school. So now it's like something else. It's SoFi Stadium or something. I don't know.
But it was Byrd Stadium as recently as the last time you went. Ten years ago.
Well, it seems like I went to a game last year. I'm trying to remember which game I went to. But it had been a while since I was a regular goer. Like when the station had tickets, I used to go and I used to take the kids and, make a day of it. But I've done that.
Secu Stadium, SECU, for State Employees Credit Union. Well, ain't that exciting? The stadium had been called Capital One Field at Maryland Stadium since 2009.
But that's gone too. There's another sponsor for the field now, I think.
All right, why can't I find here it is. Byrd was at the center of an effort by a group of student organizations to change the name, blah, blah, blah. That's Harry S. Byrd?
Not Harry Byrd. I think it was Curly Byrd, who had been the coach at one time. And then when he was the president of the school, Bear Bryant came in, and he was potskiing around too much with the bear, and the bear says, "I'm sick of this," and he left. And he went on to do some, as I understand, some really good things at Alabama.
Harry Clifton Byrd, a.k.a. Curly, former Terps coach, athletic director, and university president. I guess they didn't know that he had supported segregation back in the day, and they let the stadium sit there, named Byrd Stadium, for 50 fucking years or something like that.
Exactly. The Queen was there at one point. It was really exactly.
Yeah. So I recall the last time you said you went to a Maryland game that you were chided for standing up too much.
No, you chided somebody else. I had a guy who was standing on the seat in front of me.
Oh.
And I asked him to sit down, and he wouldn't do it. And I tried to get somebody from stadium security to help me, and he was of no help. But that's gone quite a ways back. I think I've been to a few games since then.
Okay. But now he was standing on top of the bench seating?
Yeah, right.
Had he been standing on the concrete in front of his seat, would you have been okay with that?
Not really, but I think he would have been within his rights. I think standing on the seats is taking it too far.
I would agree with you on that. Although this is a big thing at every football stadium in America. It doesn't matter where you are. It's a big thing at Lambeau Field, where a lot of people want to be like, all right, look, you can stand up for big plays, but just, sit down when, otherwise stuff is going on. I have no problem with what I like to call the church concept of stand, sit.
Mm-hmm.
Like in church, you stand when everyone else stands, and then when it's time to sit, you sit, and you don't make a big fucking deal of it. And if somebody stands in front of me, I'm going to stand, and if the people behind me are pissed off, I'm going to just go, hey, the people in front of me are standing. What do you want me to do?
Right. Yeah, no, my, and then there are circumstances where you have to stand. Like, sure, my daughter got me a student ticket when she was at Wisconsin, and you have to stand for the whole game. And my back was killing me, and I sat down in the third quarter, and the kid said, no, you're here. Stand up.
Well, anyway, Maryland won, and that gets them at six wins before there's even jack-o'-lanterns on the stoop, which is one of the earlier bowl eligibility records they've had since going back to the fridge. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah. I like this team. Now, look, they still have to play Ohio State. They're not going to beat Ohio State. But they might have a shot at least being competitive with Wisconsin, which is having a down year.
Yeah.
So, it's been a fun season.
You beat a 1-6 Northwestern team by a touchdown, 31-24. But, hey, it was a beautiful day. It was so nice. I mean, the last 2 days, Friday and Saturday in the DMV, days of the year. I call them California days because it feels like California does pretty much all the time. Southern California, that is, at least. And I got to play golf on Friday, which was great. And then Saturday, I helped my dad, actually my mom, really, clean out my dad's garage or clean out their garage.
Oh, that's a chore.
Oh, Andy, listen. Mom, you're listening right now, so don't share this with Dad. But Dad doesn't listen to the podcast. Mom does. We found so much shit in the garage. We're like, why does Dad have this? He had more unopened stuff from hardware stores, more packets of Gorilla Glue, more plumbing supplies, gaskets for toilets and flushers and plungers and everything else. He had like a mosquito fogger he ordered off the internet. And I'm like, the internet was the worst thing to happen to my dad because he could then order shit he wouldn't otherwise order that you can't find anywhere. A fogger, Andy, for mosquitoes. He had an AC recharging kit for your car.
Well, with all due respect, the apple didn't fall far from the tree on the purchase of gadgets. The only thing is, you returned them. He doesn't return them, apparently.
I know.
But you obviously learned from him.
He also had five, exactly the same adjustable leaf rakes made of metal. It's a rake in which you can unlatch it and then slide it wide or narrow, depending on how you want to rake. Like if you're raking between bushes, it's an adjustable rake. In other words, it's actually not a bad implement. I took one of them because I could use it for my house, but he had five of them, Andy.
Well, he forgot that he bought them, or perhaps he was looking to start a yard raking business and planned to hire five employees, each of them needing a rake.
He had four sets of pruners. Pruning Again, shears!
Maybe he was looking to start a landscaping business.
Anyway, so we were out in the garage. It was a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. And I would have rather have been golfing on Saturday, but it was my mom's only birthday wish is to help clear out the basement and clear out the garage just a bit. And I said, okay, Mom, not a problem. We'll get it done. And then, get this, went to P.F. Chang's, your least favorite overrated.
Let's get this straight, too. The food is good. The problem is
it's overrated.
They charge you significantly more for if I did a blind taste test with Yenchu Palace or whatever is nearby, 5 minutes from my house. Okay. I would not be able to tell the difference.
Yeah. That's okay. So I go to pick up the food that was ordered, right?
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of food sitting on the racks, right? Because there's a lot of delivery and whatnot. And I tell the young gal who's working there our name. She turns around, looks up and down at the five or six different orders of food, and then turns and says, I'm sorry, it's not ready yet. It should be up soon. She then walks away. I walk behind the counter and I look at the tickets, and sure enough, there was our food.
Ooh.
Exactly. Like, ma'am, you have one job that if you aren't clear as to what name I gave you, really take a good hard look. Ask again and start listing names.
Did you spell it?
I did. But the way they had it on the ticket.
If you say Zabin, you might be looking for a Z instead of a C.
Well, I said Zabin. And she didn't say.
Did you say CZ? Because if somebody says Zabin, I start looking for Z's unless I know that you start your name with a C.
Okay. The problem was their tickets are printed out first name, then last. So it was Kathy CZA, and then it cut off, which is a stupid.
Kathy with a K or Kathy with a C?
Well, okay, but she didn't say, oh, well, we organize these via first names. So what's the first name? She could have asked that. That would have been, I don't know, basic stuff. But it got even better because after I found the food, I then get it all together and I go over to the hostess stand where she was yucking it up with her coworkers, inattentive of the customer, having just fucked up the one job she had, okay? And I say to her, I go, oh, and this is our food here, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. And she tries to save the transaction by saying, oh, okay, great, I'm sorry. Do you need any extra sauces? And I said, sure, what do you got? She then looks at me and says, oh, I don't know. I just started working here yesterday.
Ooh, well, there is a labor shortage. Places are desperate to hire employees.
Who asks, do you need any extra sauces? And then when confronted with, yes, what do you got, is suddenly at a loss for words. Like, well, maybe I couldn't even process that.
Maybe she thought you were a veteran changer and had known the sauce rundown.
I'm like, yeah, give me everything you got. What do you mean? I don't know. It was unbelievable, the shitty service, but I'm sure it's just par for the course. Okay. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Enough of that. Let's get to the Commanders and the Packers, Andy. The Commanders deserved to win that game. They were smarter. They were tougher. They had a better game plan, and they had more guys make big plays for them, including McLaurin, who is an absolute stud. And it hurts me when I see him play because I love him and I hate the team. But they were deserving of the win, even though the Packers played like ass and they got a couple of bad breaks and we're now on DEFCON 1 because they've lost three in a row.
Well, they did not get a first down, which is incredible against a team that had been better in the last few weeks, but they've been historically bad for
Who's they?
The Commanders. The Commanders
didn't get a first
down.
Didn't get
Packers did not Aaron Rodgers did not convert a third down.
Right. He was 0-for-6 on third down. Although, here's a little quirk I didn't know. On their last drive that got it close, they had three first downs on penalty. Three.
Right.
And apparently those are not counted as third down conversions.
Okay.
Because I looked it up in the box score because I heard him on TV say Packers have yet to convert a third down. I looked it up. Someone else tweeted. I go, I thought they counted that as a converted via penalty. Because if a dude tackles a guy who's wide open to draw a PI, you should get credit for that as converting it, right?
I think so. But, you know, but again, you watched him all day, and it did not look like Aaron Rodgers. It looked like somebody from the Commanders had worn a Packer uniform.
Right.
And to see, I mean, Taylor Heinicke, he's a plucky little guy, and he makes some plays, but Green Bay should have won that game. I mean, that, and they got a couple of bad breaks too on that fumble that was returned.
Okay.
That was a ticky-tack call.
That was a ticky-tack call. But that said, you say they should have won that game. This is the problem. They think, well, we should win this game. They've thought that. This Packer team has thought that for the last 3 weeks. This was the soft part of their schedule. Giants in London, where the crowd was going to be 70% Packers. Jets at home, they stink. And then the Commanders. And, oh, we get another gift. They've lost – well, they didn't lose to Bailey Zappe. They almost lost to Bailey Zappe. But they have lost to Zach Wilson, Danny Dimes, and now Taylor Heinicke. And that's not good for a defense, Andy, that thought this summer they were going to be elite, like top five minimum in the league.
Yeah. Well, I think Rodgers' thumb was bothering him more than he's letting on, because they didn't throw many deep passes, and when he did, he wasn't accurate at all.
Well, they don't have the line to they don't have the line to block for him, because Bakhtiari was out and they had to shuffle a bunch of guys around, and they don't have receivers that are very good. Lazard's their one half decent guy. He left with an injury midway through the game, and they got nobody. Like, the loss of Davante Adams is really crippling this team. It was such a bigger part of all their success the last 2 years. Nobody wants to admit it.
Well, let me ask you this. When you give a quarterback $50 million a year, there's got to be some sacrifices along the way. And that's why, you know, Russell Wilson won his one Super Bowl on a rookie deal. And I think that, you know, there aren't many cases. And even you can look at Brady, but Brady always takes under market value.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to take what you're worth as a quarterback, you may hurt the team.
Well, they had extra draft picks. They had an extra first and a very high second. They had actually two high seconds and two late firsts because of the Devontae trade. And instead of either bundling them up to move up to get one kick-ass wide receiver who could really make an impact right away, they took defensive players with their first two picks. Mm-hmm. They took this guy, Quay Walker, a linebacker. And by the way, nobody gives a shit about linebacker anymore, do they? Right? It's not a linebacker league anymore. They take Quay Walker out of Georgia at 22, and then they take Devontae Wyatt, a defensive lineman, at 28 or something like that. Then they take Christian Watson in the early second. He's been hurt most of the year with knee and hamstring issues. And then Dobbs, the other wide receiver they took, has been pretty good as, I think, a third rounder. I got to check that. But they didn't put urgency on shit. We just lost Devontae. We got to get a replacement. That's arrogance, Andy. That's arrogance.
Well, and it also goes back to, well, we have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he'll make it all good. And it's not good right now for a variety of reasons. The play calling sucks as well. Matt LaFleur is allergic to running the ball. When they've got two good backs, Aaron Jones, they should be just feeding it to him the whole time. Who knows if Rodgers is checking out of stuff. But they are in a world of hurt, given that they're now 3-4. They go to Buffalo. They go to Buffalo off a bye. Buffalo, by all rights, should tear them apart like a grizzly bear. Now they're 3-5. And then to just go 11-6, which maybe is what it would take to be a wild card, because it doesn't look like they're going to win the division now, they got to go 8-1 to finish. 8-1 to get to 11-6. 11-6 is two full seasons of losses for this team the last 2 years. It's going to be a rough ride from here on out.
And doesn't it kind of look like Rodgers is semi-interested, not fully invested?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then there's that. Yeah, then the body language police and the highlight police seeing him say, what the fuck are you doing, when some of the receivers that he has drop passes. Many of the passes were shitty passes. So, yeah, it's going to be quite a week. And then he wore a bathrobe to the post-game presser, which – I don't know if I care about, but I think it's a shitty look when you just got your ass handed to you again, you know?
That's Vinny the Chin Gigante from the mob, right? Walking around the neighborhood in a bathrobe.
I guess so. But anyway, I'm sorry we didn't go. And by I'm sorry, I mean thank God.
Well, I mean, because I would have liked to have been there for the booing of Tanya Snyder and the kids of Sell the Team. That might have been fun.
All right, let's talk about that because they, of course, had the little to do outside the stadium on a stage celebrating the 90th anniversary of the team. And Tanya got up and spoke because her husband's too much of a coward to show his face in public. And she said, "Hail to the Redskins" at the end of it. Was that a gaffe or was that on purpose?
I think she was probably thinking we're honoring all these players from the past and right. They were Redskins, not Commanders. But right. Again, that's something you need to be coached on, you know, because you've gone through this thing to change the name. Now, they never said we're changing the name because we feel it's racist. They said they were retiring the name. Right. And anybody who thinks they did it because they suddenly got woke is kidding themselves. The reason it happened was Danny tried to screw his partners out of money and blamed it on the pandemic. And they go, "Well, watch this." And Fred Smith, who is the chairman of Home Depot, said, "Well, if you don't change the name, we're going to drop our sponsorship and we're going to get Pepsi to do the same thing and Nike as well." And boom, the name changed. That's why it changed.
Yeah. It was like the scene in Hangover. When Mr. Chow jumps out of the back of the truck with a tire iron and starts screaming, "You want to fuck on me? You want to fuck on me?" Like, this is...
Exactly.
Whoa! I'm with you!
You gonna fuck on me?
Nobody's gonna fuck on you! We're on your side! I hate Godzilla! I hate him too!
That's so great. Just that one line. Not fuck with me, but fuck on me. That's so perfect. Yeah, it's bad. So what did you make of our boy, our former colleague, Christopher J. Cooley, saying on Sheehan's podcast he had no interest in doing anything with the Commanders at this point in his life?
As I understand it, he only got like a text from the team like a couple of weeks before.
Like, hey, we're putting you in as part of the best 90.
Yeah, and so he kind of blew that off. And then Darryl Grant put out something on Instagram that nobody had contacted him and then got a follow-up from that as, you know, they reacted to that and they invited him, but they also said, "Don't wear any Redskins gear." So, everything they do, I mean, it's just, it's just bizarre. It's seemingly like they go out of their way to crap all over themselves. It's just an embarrassment.
Yeah, it's really bad. Well, and he carried all that water for them when they were trying to save the name the first go round by appearing on Indian reservations for the failed Original Americans campaign. Remember that whole deal?
Oh, well, he had Cooley was on board with that, and he had Gary Clark. And Mark Mosley is the only one I've seen because he went on those tours too, and he was the only one to get pissed, it seemed, when they did change the name. Like, "Hey, look, I've been campaigning for this for 2 years and you just did this?"
Right. You're right. You left me hanging there. It's like, what the hell? But, any one of these ex-Redskins who are now doing whatever with the Commanders, I always wonder, how much are they getting paid? Because certainly they're not doing this just because they want to be remembered. Like, "Hey, everybody, remember me?"
Well, I think there is some of
there
that.
There is?
I think, because, it's kind of nice when the fans talk to you and surround you. And I loved, as you do too, Terry McLaurin. And one of the things he said after the game, he was talking, I think, to J.P. Finley, and he said, I enjoy it when the fans, support me and so forth, because it's not always going to be there. He has an understanding that at some point this goes away, and he's just John Q. Public, Terry McLaurin. I love that about him.
Right. So elsewhere around the NFL, there are three quarterback disasters unfolding. One is Rodgers. The other one is Brady, who I am rooting for his demise because I haven't talked to you since this, but him comparing playing a football season to a military deployment?
Oh, he apologized for that. But
don't
yes,
give a shit. Not, he not can apologize from now to the. It was a window into how he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And once I heard that, I go, oh, you really are a fucking douchebag. That would even come out of your mouth. That you would even think there's anything comparable about that. Holy fuck. Fuck you. I hope your leg breaks and you're done.
Ooh.
But I know. Ooh. That's harsh. That's harsh, Andy. I'm not rooting for brain damage. I'm not rooting for any paralysis. But a good broken leg? Oh, I'm here for that. Fuck him. I'm going to relish. This is probably his last season, right? The way he's playing?
It appears that way. I mean, and this is pretty typical. You know, nobody likes to go with something left in the tank. A few have done it.
Sure.
But you got to keep playing until you think you can't play anymore, and this is probably the time.
Right. Okay, so there's that. But then there is the Russell Wilson thing.
Oh,
and he did not play today. Brett Rypien, irony alert, the son of the great Mark Rypien.
No, nephew.
Nephew, sorry, thank you. He played, and they lost, I think, a close one. I got to check
16-9,
the score.
16-9, I believe.
Yeah, so he hung in there. But the whole Russell Wilson thing is so fascinating on so many levels. And a shout out to one of the great under the radar columnists in the country. The country, Andy, and Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post.
Yeah, he's not, I will say this, and I like him and I like his writing, but he's a columnist for the Washington Post living in Seattle. So
Sally is living in New York.
Yeah, and she doesn't write, you know, I like a guy like Barry Zwarluga, who's, you know, feet on the ground,
fair
showing
enough
up in events, you know. But anyway, he is a good writer, and he wrote a very good column about Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Jerry not only writes beautifully, but he thinks beautifully. And so he thinks of things in a way that makes me go, God damn, that is a great point. Here's what he wrote about Russell Wilson. Wilson has spent more than a decade in the NFL winning, thrilling, and turning his underdog story into an iconic tale. With a Houdini act that may take him to the Hall of Fame, he redefined the modern-day possibilities for quarterbacks under 6 feet tall. He attained celebrity in a largely faceless game, yet for all his good traits and good deeds, his ascension came with a perception of inauthenticity that fuels those who mock him now. It's not that they are rooting for him to fail. They are sneering at the awkwardness of a man who has abandoned self-awareness.
Absolutely. And you know what this goes back
to? That is brilliant.
It goes back to this, that he, remember the Brady Super Bowl that he won with Tampa, and there were shots of Russell Wilson sitting in like a private box, like pissed off, thinking to himself, that should be me. And he attempted to, and while it's been effective in the NBA, though not for everybody, because Kevin Durant tried this in the offseason, it didn't work. But if you make a big enough stink, you can get yourself traded to a really good team. And he tried that, and he thought, you know, well, I'm just like Tom Brady, and it didn't work. And so he went back and played another year in Seattle, and he wasn't very good, and they were happy to get rid of him. And guess what? They're playing better with Geno Smith right now.
I know. They won in L.A. today. Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive there. But the whole column from Brewer was basically, look, forget how he's playing on the field for a second. How does he map a return to being a normal human being and somebody who can fit into a locker room when he has clearly bought into all of the bullshit about the Russell Wilson mystique? And that's the most fascinating part of this story.
Yeah. I mean, he thought he was Brady, and at age, you know, 33, he's talking about playing at 45.
Okay.
Stop.
Hold on.
Win some more Super Bowls.
Hold on. You say he thought he was Brady. I think it's different than that, because even Brady, as douchebaggy and narcissistic as he is, wasn't as corny ever as Russell Wilson, wasn't as addicted to the celebrity, even though he was married to a supermodel, soon to be divorced. You know, Russell Wilson leaned into the whole Ciara thing, really loved the red carpetization of his brand, was more brand aware. I mean, why did he agree to all these stupid Subway commercials when he's already making $40 million a year? Did he not think recording, hey, it's a spicy Russell Wilson sandwich, that could come back to haunt him if he plays like shit?
No, you know, I guess.
Or it's just more money.
I'll take more money. I think you never lose, and Brady, to a degree, didn't lose that either. You never lose that, third round pick, too short to play quarterback in the NFL. and the chip on his shoulder is still there. So,
okay.
You know, hey.
But what my point is, what do these mega athletes ever say no to?
Got me. I mean, you know.
How much could that campaign have been for from Subway? $1 million?
I don't know what it is, but it's a one day of shooting, and it's you know, it's more fame than he, you know, has. And I just think when you're used to coming up and being a scrapper, it's hard to say no to those things. You know, it's hard to say no. I'm too big.
Okay, but you're now making $40 million. You're going to a new team. You know, it might be rocky at first. You've got a first year head coach who knows how good he's going to be, and he sucks, by the way. Don't you think you'd be like, you know what, Subway, I'm not doing these spots this year. Or you can put my face on in-store signage for $500,000, but I'm not recording commercials, and especially not ones this fucking stupid. Like, that's my whole thing. I'm fascinated with what do they say no to exactly.
Well, and also it's how they're courted. They like people who want them. You know, you want to be wanted.
I guess. I don't have time today, but maybe next time you can tell me about what's going on with the Montgomery County Planning Board.
Yeah, I don't know all the details of that, but they all resigned, so it doesn't sound good.
Massive scandal in your home county, the People's Republic of Montgomery County. Nice, clean streets, high taxes, liberal values, but the whole board was embroiled in scandal, kickbacks, all kinds of nefarious shit, and they all quit.
Yep. Well, yeah, not good, is it?
All right. And then maybe next week I'll ask you about my Ursay theory regarding Danny and the fact that Ursay was the guy to step up and say something.
Oh, yeah, his father was once the biggest villain in Baltimore. He has suddenly emerged as the biggest hero in Washington.
Was it you or someone else that said you get an Ursay #1 Commanders jersey if he's the one that helps push? If he's the one that helps push Danny out, you'll get a #1 Ursay jersey with Commanders on it. Was that you? All right. I lost Andy. That'll do it for us today. Thanks for listening. Andy, I love you, buddy. Sorry for the phone being what it is. And everybody, thank you for tuning in today and downloading. More to come tomorrow as the Zabecast week begins with a Cracker Jack opening salvo. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time.
And the world's all right with me. Just one look at you.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.